Thanks, Tyler. Good morning once again. So great to be here with all of you. Quick note on UP. I've been telling the other pastors and ministry leaders that I know who are coming to this. I said I'm bringing my whole church with the prayer meeting tonight. So don't let me down. No, I realize that people have things going on and this and that. But I would say this: please make every effort to come. Make every effort to come. Do my request of each of you. It's such a sweet time. God loves it when brothers dwell together in unity. He tells us that in Psalm 133, I think. When brothers are dwelling together. Oh, that was right. 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. We've got a lot of brothers and sisters in this city that name the name of Christ. They're Christ followers, and God loves that when they get together and do things together and pray together and sing together. And guess who hates it when those things happen? Our enemy, Satan. He wants to cause disunity. He wants churches to fight and things like that. And this is a great time just to set aside our differences and to just pray that Jesus makes a difference in this community, that he makes a difference in our nation. So that'd be my encouragement to each of you. I want to take a look at that, the scripture reading again real quickly, Psalm 104, verse 33. And notice that will is bold on there. I did that, obviously. But I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. Is that true of you? Will you sing? That's the title of today's message. Another question that we've been trying to get, or I've been trying to get people to ask regularly: How was that Korean fellowship meal? Pretty great, right? How was the message? How was the coffee? How did the floors look when we came? You know, we ask these questions about the church service, but are we asking, how did the congregation sing? This must be a regular question about our services. And let's each be a positive part of the answer to that question. Today we will all be called to give an answer to another question. And that question, as I've said already, is, will you sing? And I'm going to ask each of you to give an answer to that question. Will you sing? Will you do it? Let's pray. Lord, I just pray you'd bless this time. I pray you'd give us soft hearts. I pray you'd give us open minds. I pray you'd give us spirits that are just ready to absorb what you want to tell us, Lord. I pray that you bring conviction where there needs to be conviction. I pray that we would continue to become more like you, Jesus, in all aspects of our lives, as well as this aspect of singing. I just pray you'd encourage us through this message today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So once again, we've gone through this every single time I've spoke, so this will be the last time you have to look at this list. But the five goals of this sermon series: one, to discover why we sing and the overwhelming joy and holy privilege that comes with singing. Two, to consider how singing impacts our hearts and minds and all of our lives. Three, to cultivate a culture of family singing in our daily home life. Four, to equip our church for wholeheartedly singing to the Lord and one another as an expression of unity. And five, to inspire us to see congregational singing as a radical witness to the world. So those are the goals of this sermon series. For today, once again, the big idea, if you remember anything from today, this would be it. The big idea: sing truth and sing it as though it really is true. Sing truth and sing it as though it really is true. Now, before we get started here, if you haven't heard any of these messages yet, or maybe only heard a couple, this is a great Sunday to be here because I'm basically going to review everything that we've been talking about. So everything I've been talking about the last five series today, we're going to review that, elaborate on it, encapsulate it, and then bring us to that question, will you sing? So today is the day where we have to make a choice. You've heard me talking and talking and talking about the importance of singing. You're going to hear me talk about it again today, and then you're going to have to decide, will you obey Jesus and sing? And will you sing? This first slide here, Evan Roberts, the Welsh revival preacher, Looks like a fun guy, doesn't he? I like that photo in the lower left. He's got his Bible. You know. I'd like to meet this guy. I will one day in heaven. That's exciting. Evan Roberts was one of the Welsh revival preachers at the beginning of the 20th century. He believed in the great importance of singing in a spiritual awakening and in the Christian life. When a Londoner once asked him if he thought the revival could ever reach the British capital, so this is when there was a revival going on in Wales, and this guy asked him, you know, do you think revival could ever reach the British capital here in London? Roberts is said to have smiled and asked, can you sing? I love that question, but it's a question that is so easily and damagingly misunderstood. Now listen carefully here. So can you sing is what Evan Roberts asked. Now, it is not asking, can you hold a tune? Do you understand harmonies? Do you sound good? That's not what Roberts meant. What he meant in asking that question was, will you sing? Will you sing? And if we sing, if we will sing, the gospel will be heard. So I ask you the same question, will you sing? Will you sing? So this is the most exciting time to be a Christian. It really is. There are more Christians in the world today than there ever have been before. The Bible can be read in more languages than ever before. How many of you have that YouVersion Bible app? Anybody have that? There's a picture of the Bible. I can go on there, and in a moment's notice, I can find many, many different languages of the Bible. There's like well over 20 in English. I know there's probably two or three Korean versions on there. I've looked at those before. It's amazing. We can look up just about any language to read the Bible in. The internet revolution means churches are more connected than ever before, and that mission fields are closer to our reach than ever before. But this is also a very challenging time to be a Christian as well, isn't it? In the West, there is greater opposition to Christian ethics and to the gospel that underpins those ethics than there has been for centuries. There are more dwindling and dying churches than there have been for centuries. The internet revolution means that Christians are more exposed to heresy than ever before. And heresy is anything that speaks falsehood against the gospel, the true gospel of what the Bible says. That's what heresy is. Okay. And that temptations are closer to our reach than ever before through the internet. So in the words of Charles Dickens, this is the best of times and it is the worst of times. Right? Anybody know what that's from? Anybody? Charles Dickens novel? Anybody know? But yes, yep, Tale of Two Cities. There we go. All right. See, at our submerged banquet, I had Jacob Marley's ghost as one of the things and we were like, oh, who's that? Come on, people. Let's get your act together with English literature here. Anyway, so thank you. I'm glad somebody knew. Yeah, Tale of Two Cities. It's the best of times, the worst of times. And really, that's true for us today as Christians. And so... the need for believers to hold tightly and loyally to the true Christian faith and to share it with conviction, courage, and compassion has never been more critical than today. So that means it's vital that we sing together. It's vital. The songs we sing together are lifelines that draw each of us back to the heart of the King. We serve and to the priorities of the kingdom we are members of. The songs we sing to ourselves are what tether us to the Lord day by day. They anchor us to Him. The songs we sing to others are what proclaim His kingdom in a way that reaches deep into their heads and their hearts. So let's review from this series, as I said we were going to do today, why we need to sing. So if you haven't been convinced yet, hopefully by the end of today you will. So here is why we need to sing. Why we must sing. Okay, so number one, we are created, commanded, and compelled to sing. So this is in your bulletin. I tried to leave a little bit of room there if you wanted to write any refresher points down. So let's take a look at the verse from that first message. Psalm 95, 1 through 2. Oh, come, Let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Now, for those of you who don't think you have a good singing voice, this is a great verse for you. It doesn't say, let's make joyful, skillful singing to him. It doesn't say that. It says, let us make a joyful noise. Some of us aren't naturally gifted with a great ability to sing. It doesn't matter. Is what's coming out of your mouth joyful? Is it coming from your heart as we sing together and praise the Lord together with thanksgiving? So we are a singing people because it is how God created us. It's what we do. We're created to sing. And when we do, we're simply joining in with what the rest of creation is already doing. That's all we're doing. All creation is praising God right now. We are a singing people because God has commanded us to sing. It's what we do. We obey Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And the Bible commands us to sing. Do you love Jesus? Will you obey that command to sing? We are commanded to pray, so we must do it. Pray without ceasing, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. The same is equally true of singing. We are commanded to God to sing, so we must do it. Not to sing is to disobey. Not to sing is to disobey. We are a singing people because the gospel of the Lord, Jesus, compels us to sing. Created, commanded, compelled. We just sang about the gospel this morning in these Christmas hymns. That should compel us to sing. This is great news. Good tidings of great joy, right? I can't lie. I mean, what does it take to wake us up? Do we need to be like the shepherds where this huge myriad of angels is, you know, saying, like, okay, you got my attention. I think this is a big deal. Jesus is born. He came to save us. It should compel us to sing. It's what we do. Saved people are singing people. If you are in Christ, if Jesus is your Savior, you are, or should be, and must be, a singing people. Saved people are singing people. For, why? For Christ's love compels us. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Christ's love compels us. So the big idea with all of that from the first week was, once again, we sing because we are created to, commanded to, and compelled to. So that's the first reason why we need to sing. Number two, we are called to sing with our hearts and minds. So this is another reason that we need to sing. We're called to sing with our hearts and minds. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. We need to think about the words we're singing. We need to sing with our hearts wholeheartedly. Singing sustains us. Singing sustains us. Eat good soul food on a Sunday today, and you will find your soul growing and thriving through the week and through your life. The Psalms are a great place to find, and some of you maybe remember this, a portrait gallery of who God is. Okay, so the Psalms tell us that. And it's a place to help us embrace and process the realities of life by singing through them. If you've read through the Psalms, I think it's about 60 to 70% of them are laments. It's people having a hard time, and they're processing their grief by singing to the Lord. And very commonly, as you see some of these songs, where people are crying out, complaining, my enemies are against me, I cry all night, my bed is a pillow of tears. And then it gets resolved, and you realize, wow, the Lord is my rock and my refuge. I can trust him, I delight in him. You know, and so the Psalms help us relate with difficult times that we're going through, the realities of life. Singing reminds us of what God has done for us and what he is going to do for us. It's another thing that singing does. It reminds us of God's goodness and what he will do. And it's because God made us to be powerfully engaged in our senses and memories by music. Songs have the power to prompt a memory or transport us back to some other time and place. And if you don't believe that, I challenge you, come caroling with us on December 19th. One of the places we are going that I have booked for sure is Maple View Memory. These people don't, there's reasons called Maple View Memory. They don't have a very good memory. Their minds are fading. Half hour after we leave, they probably won't even remember that we were there. So you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a peace in them from singing these songs. And some of these people, I've gone to nursing homes, I've gone to memory care facilities, and some of these people cannot speak. They can't speak. You know, and they're just like kind of rocking in a chair, and all of a sudden we start singing Away in a Manger, and they sit up, Away in a Manger. It's like magic. It's like, wait, I thought this person couldn't talk. Yeah, but they can sing. They learn these songs as a young child, and it's stuck in them their entire life. And they come to life. And then we stop singing, and then they go back to how they were. I've seen it happen time and time again. God has made music to stick in us forever and to remind us of his goodness. So imagine that filling ourself, our mouths, our minds with songs that are not uplifting, that don't sing God's truth. Guess what? Those songs also stick in us. And that's scary. And the only way to reverse that or get rid of it, you can't like unhear a song. Once you've heard it, you know it. And I bet a lot of us probably right now could recite every single lyric to some pretty filthy songs because we've heard them. The only way to get that out of our minds is by replacing it with God's truth and singing God's truth and learning songs that have God's truth. Because then we don't even bring to mind these other things. We just are focusing on God's truth. Yeah, you can't erase it. You just have to refill it with something better. We must develop an appetite for singing, for good soul food. And that happens right here when we sing on Sunday mornings, congregational singing. And I do my best to pick songs that are good, that are encouraging, that are uplifting, that help us to think about the gospel, have catchy tunes, all those things. So big idea from point number two, you are what you sing. You are what you sing. Whatever you're singing, whatever you're listening to, that's what you will become. That's how you'll think of yourself. That's how you'll view whatever the people are singing about. You are what you sing. Oh, be careful, little ear, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ear, what you hear. Number three, we are called to sing with our families. We're called to sing with our families. The next reason why we need to sing, Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7. This is a command from the Lord, part of the Jewish Shema prayer. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. I'm going to ask a question here that could be a little bit convicting, but is it true of you that you could probably recite more lyrics to secular songs than God's scripture right now? And I'm telling you, if that's true of you, that you could recite more lyrics to secular songs than God's word, you're disobeying his command. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Are we memorizing scripture? Are we learning it? Singing it helps us remember it. We've got to know God's word. And notice he says it shall be on your heart. So first you have to memorize it, then you have to meditate on it, and then you have to let it sink into you to really obey God's word. So I challenge you. A lot of you say, well, I can't memorize very well. It's hard for me. Well, I didn't see any clauses in this verse. And the words that I command you today shall be on your heart. But if you have a bad memory and it's hard for you, then you don't have to learn the word of God. It doesn't say that. If you really want to learn something and you take the time to do it, you can do it. You know what your middle name is. You know what your phone number is. You know what your address is. You know what your social security number is. Hopefully, we can all memorize. Can you tell me the 26 letters of the English alphabet? Can you tell me the 24 letters? So is it 24 in the Korean language? How many letters? Oops, you're figuring out. The suspense is killing me. Is it 24? Maybe? Okay. Yeah. So anyway, we know these things. Like you guys know the Korean alphabet, right? You know all the they know it. Yeah. So we can memorize. We can memorize. Discipleship starts in the home. We should be actively and consistently involved in leading or participating in prayer and singing and Bible study with our families during the week. We must be singing the songs of our faith in our homes. This helps us to create a culture of singing, memorable understanding as to why we do or sing what we sing. Okay, when we're singing at home, so it creates a culture of singing. It helps us to have understanding of why we're singing. So when I'm singing at home and Josiah asks me, Dada, what does Ebenezer mean? Here I raise my Ebenezer. What's that? And I can explain it to him. Well, that's a story from 1 Samuel where Jesus delivered the Israelites from the Philistines. And then they held up a stone, and the stone was called Stone of Help. They named it Ebenezer. That's what that means. God is our stone of help. We can explain these things. And it links the sound of our personal homes with our church home. And I was delighted this morning to look out. Some of you guys probably didn't notice this, but when we were singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, I was watching Ileana and my son Josiah, and they knew all the words to verse 1. Why? Because we've been singing it at home. I give them music lessons on Tuesday, and they were able to sing along. So we were just taking what we already do at home and bringing it to the church, and then they get to sing along with us. And it was exciting. Ileana, was that exciting when you could sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing? You felt like you were part of the club, right? Yeah, it's an exciting thing for kids to be able to be a part of what we do at church. And so and there's many ways to do this. We just need to take every opportunity we get. Singing as we walk around the house. Before meals, you could sing the doxology before you sit down to eat. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. You could start making that your family dinner prayer before you eat. At bedtime, you know, having songs. I suggested that Scripture Lullabies album that's got great God's truth that you can just listen to as you fall asleep. So the big idea, sing the songs of our faith in your home. Sing the songs of our faith in your home. Number 4, we are called to sing with the local church. Hebrews 2:12, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Hebrews 2:12. Now tell me, this new wave of Christians that say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, but I just kind of do my own thing at home and experience God in my home. I don't believe in the church as an institution. I don't think I have to go to church. Okay, tell me, how are you obeying this verse? How are you obeying this verse? In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. I'm sorry if you're watching a sermon getting streamed on your laptop and singing at home. Those people in that auditorium cannot hear you. You're not singing with the congregation. You're singing with the computer. We've got to be obedient to this and come to church. And obviously, as you guys have heard the praise, I'm preaching to the choir right now because you guys are here. You're here. You're at church. You're in the midst of the congregation. But there's unfortunately many people in our society that think they can experience God on their own without the church. It's simply not true. In fact, it's a heresy. It's a lie from the pits of hell. Why did Jesus establish the church if he wanted people to have their own little private lives at home and never have a chance to obey the 54 one another commands in the New Testament? Just can't do it. Now, I realize there's unique situations where there could be shut-ins or, you know, extreme medical difficulties where you can't make it to church physically. You just can't. That's a great excuse to stay at home and watch a sermon online. But if you can walk, go to church. Anyway, singing together is always a witness. We've got to remember that. Singing together is always a witness. The question is it a good witness or not? Is it a good witness to us? How much effort do we put into our singing? When we sing, we witness to the people in our church who are yet to believe. I've talked about this. This is a review. So singing powerfully and wholeheartedly expresses our faith and is a good way to share it with others. So if we have people coming into this church and they're seeing us sing powerfully and wholeheartedly, it's like, wow, these people really believe what they're singing, okay? However, when an unbeliever observes the half-hearted singing, of Christians at church, it suggests to them that what is being sung is either not true or not wonderful or both. So if we have a lost person come in here, someone who doesn't know Jesus, and they see somebody standing in the back like this, in Christ alone, my hope is found. When is it time for lunch? I'm bored. Okay? Are they really going to think that you believe what you're singing? No way. No way. I wouldn't be convinced. If I was a music judge, which I've done this before, and someone comes and sings a solo, and I ask them, what are you singing about? Oh, well, this is a love song. It's a bard who's singing for this guy. Like, are you believing what you're singing? Because I wasn't convinced. You know, it's like, my goodness, people. Let's think about what we're singing, and let's mean what we're singing. And this might sound bad, but like, sell the gospel to me. Make me believe that you believe what you're singing about. And which once again, is the big idea today. Sing the truth and sing it as though it really is true. We've got to do that, or people are just going to look at us and be like, yep, same old boring church singing. I don't want to have any part of this. These people don't really believe what they're singing about. And I certainly know they don't believe what they're singing about because I've seen how they live their lives throughout the week. They're rude. They're impatient. They swear. They're disrespectful to their boss. Like, this person's not a real Christian. Are we being a good witness for Christ, or are we being a damaging witness for Christ? And are singing in one of those ways? We must take singing the gospel seriously. We must. The gospel is the power to save to all who call upon Jesus. Therefore, being gospel light in our singing is not a way to be attracting the lost. We should never be shy about the gospel or in singing it, because we never know who might be listening or what the Lord might be doing. And even right now, we could still have somebody walk in within these last 3 minutes that's just looking for answers, looking for truth. And if they come in and they see us singing in Christ alone, passionately, wholeheartedly, thinking about it, they're like, wow, this is what I've been looking for. But if they come in and they see people, you know, I already demonstrated, we don't need to do that again. I mean, they're going to be like, man, I guess the church really isn't the answer I'm looking for. These people don't look like they're enjoying the Lord. Why should I even try it? Share the gospel by singing the gospel. Share the gospel by singing the gospel. Wait a minute. Senior, did I mix something up here? Yeah, no, I'm right. No, I skipped ahead. Okay. So, you know what? I just did 0.5 to you. Did I do all 0.4? Am I losing my mind? They're kind of intertwined, yeah. I'm sorry, Lydia. You've probably been jumping back and forth back there. So what I just said to you was all of 0.5. Let's go back to 0.4 for one moment. So when we sing together as a church, we're showing that we are a congregation of living stones. 1 Peter 2, 4-5. We're united in one Lord, filled by one Spirit, brought into one church to offer our praise to Him. We're being chiseled and refined together. Some of you might remember that photo I had up there of Giant's Causeway, those hexagon-shaped stones, right? We're being chiseled and refined and forged together through our singing together. We are not islands. We should never be in church merely or primarily for what we get out of it, but what we give to it. So this is under 0.4 once again. We are called to serve our church family by singing with and to them. Being created in God's image, there are three aspects that our singing together showcases: creativity, communication, and community. So when we sing together at church, we are showcasing creativity, communication, and community. And guess what? That's exactly what millennials, even all of us, are searching for. They want to see creativity. They want to see authentic communication. They want to be part of a real community where people love each other and do things together. Okay? So singing God's word helps us to put on spiritual armor, and singing together prepares us for the spiritual battles we face. So that big idea was sing yourself strong, sing the church strong, show up and sing up. And yes, it is definitely intertwined to 0.5, which I already talked about. The verse I wanted to highlight from that section 5 is Acts 2, verses 46 through 47. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, singing, and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Think about that. So what happened as a result of these people hanging out, eating meals together, singing, praising God? People noticed, and they had favor with all people. And then what happened? People got saved. Why did people get saved? Because they saw real community. They saw real people hanging out, loving each other, sharing food in their homes, singing praises to God, and they said, I want that. I want that. That's what I want to be a part of. And then people got saved. Did it happen today? Yes. Absolutely. So share the gospel by singing the gospel. Okay. Now, did I fix that? Conclusion. So as you wake each day, as you walk through your day, let the lyrics and melodies of your faith, of our faith, ring around the spaces where you live in your life. As you walk into church, be excited about sharing in the privilege of lifting your voice with God's people to sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. And as you sing, experience the awesome joy of knowing that you are joining in with the great song of praise that resounds through every age, that stretches throughout the world and into every inch of creation, and then is being sung right this very moment in the courts of heaven. Even just yesterday, I was hanging out with these lovely Korean ladies, and I said, "You guys, do you guys know Silent Night?" It's like, "Oh yeah!" And then right away, Hyung Sung started singing Silent Night in Korean. Beautiful. Okay, so like what we're singing here, people are singing all over the world. We're just joining in with all creation, singing to the God of heaven. So the question is, will you commit to be a singing Christian, a singing family member, and a singing church member? Will you commit? You've got to make a choice. You're either going to obey or you're going to disobey. Well, I don't feel like singing. I'm just going to disobey God. Or, yes, I see the importance of this. I'm going to sing. I'm going to be a singing Christian. I'm going to be a singing family member. I will be a singing church member. So once again, the big idea, sing truth and sing it as though it really is true. Sing truth and sing it as though it really is true. Now, as Tyler announced already, last slide here, we have a Christmas hymn sing this Wednesday. So this is your chance to take one first step in saying, yes, Pastor Paul, I will be a singing Christian. I don't care what my voice sounds like. Like when Elf comes into the, you get seen Elf with Will Ferrell. He comes into the like really important business meeting. I'm in love and I don't care who knows about it. Okay? Can we have that same attitude? Like, I'm going to sing and I don't care that my voice sounds bad. Okay. Do you love Jesus enough to just sing, to just enjoy? And I'm really looking forward to this time. And once again, I realize things come up. Maybe we'll have a blizzard. Who knows? But make every effort. Make every effort to come and sing with us. I'd like to have the house packed out and just singing Christmas hymns. Maybe we'll have standing room only down the stairs. I don't know. But it's gonna be a fun time. Really looking forward to it. So please make every effort to commit and come sing. I'll pray and we will sing one last song, In Christ Alone. Great song of the gospel, even highlights part of the Christmas story in it. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that we would be a singing people. Lord, I pray that we would respond to that question, will you sing? Yes, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. Psalm 104:33. Lord, I pray that we just be delighted to sing. We wouldn't be afraid of it. We wouldn't look at it as a chore. It's just something that we do, that we get to do. It's what a beautiful thing it is. Lord, I just pray that we would be a singing people, that we would know your word so well because we sing it. And Father, I just pray that we would be indeed a radical witness to the world, that people would get saved as a result of how we're living our lives, because we're spending time with each other, because we're sharing meals in our homes, because we're singing together, and people hear us singing, and they're thinking, why do these people keep singing? What are they singing about? They're singing at the coffee shop. They're singing when they're in the mall. What's going on here? And I pray, Lord, that it would get people's attention. We'd be a radical witness to the world. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.